We ended Shia last time trying to figure out what was the back and forth between Rav Gamliel and the Minim. Rav Gamliel said from the Pasuk of Vayem Hashem Amosh, let's just see to get inside. So he said, I'm going to answer you from the Torah and Avim Aksuvim, but Kiblu Mehem, and they weren't Makabal for them. Now the third line down. In our Torah, what was the Pasuk? He said, Vayem Hashem Amosh, in Cheshechi, v'mavisecha. Hashem told Moshe Minim he was going to die. The end of the varm over there, they said, "Bro, come," and then it says, "Come," and then it continues saying, "Amazev zana." So, what Rav Gamliel does is he pauses after the word "come," and he says, "You see that Moshe Benu is going to die, and he's going to get up." So that was the raya that he said. However, the medium right away jumped and said, "Amuloy v'dim will come amazev zana." And we discussed at the end last week, we discussed the last time exactly what was the back and forth between the Rav Gamliel and the Minim. And we basically said what the Mashal was saying then, just not so clearly, that this is one of the words that the Gemara said in Yuma is not a hecher, it could be going, it's not Mukhrach, it has to be going one way or the other. There are five words that the Gemara brings down. That's what the Mashal says. The Lashon is, I'll just read you the Lashon. The Lashon is that given the Inlam Hechra, so therefore, Husei Vashnap Yerushim. In other words, this word is one of the few words that you don't have a raya. It's an ambiguous kind of word. It could be going towards the first half of the Pasuk, it could be going towards the second half of the Pasuk. So therefore, he took the word and he put it here, Shechev Amari Shechev Akam. And there, the Minim came and said, no, there is a Hechra, because the rest of the Pasuk won't make any sense if you stop over there and then you finish the rest of the Pasuk. So it says, Ha'amazev Ezana, what about them? So obviously the Vakam has to go in there. And the Maral and a lot of Mepharshim explained this Gemara, because it seemingly is very, like we discussed, the Teretz is very Pashit. The Teretz is very, very Pashit. That Vakam is going in the end of the Pasuk. So it's true, it's one of the things that doesn't have a Hechra. But yet, it's more mishtarve that way. So, the Mashal continues though and says a yesod. It's not going to really fadin us. We're not going to walk away necessarily with a better klarkeit on what the argument between what Rav Gamliel said and what the Minim said back. But the Mashal does say that Rav Gamliel was sending a message here that tzaddikim, when they die, the loss isn't theirs. The loss is ours. And that's why it says, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. And what's going to happen is become Hamazev Azana. The nation, without the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, is going to go lost. That was the message he was sending. So it's true, they rejected his proof to Tchiyat HaMeisim, but they couldn't reject his message that he was sending. Okay? So back to what we were saying, it could be, maybe, that Rav Gamliel at this point didn't think he was going to convince them. But that wasn't his only point here. His point was also to send a message. And let's understand, before we go right to the next cases now, we'll talk a little bit about Amuna. Maybe a lot about Amuna. Because if you want to break it down to the bottom line, the Minim are people who don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does Emunah really mean? First of all, you should know that the word Emunah, which we translate into the word belief, the MS is a hard concept. Rav Chanan brings down in his Kodesh Ma'amarim, how could there be a mitzvah? The Rambam brings it down as a mitzvah, the first mitzvah. How is it possible to have a mitzvah that's not totally Yodai? To do, it's you either believe or you don't believe. You can tell someone shake a lulav, tell someone hang up a mezuzah, don't eat treif, but his kasha is that that you have to, the Rambam says, mitzvah rishona leidu lahamin b'akadosh baruch hu v'tzarech lahavin, ech shayach mitzvah lahamin. How is the mitzvah believe? Bishlam v'chayv v'shayivarim shayach mitzvah lasesh. I can tell you, shake a lulav. If you don't shake the lulav, you're over. You have to go do a mitzvah. Okay, or shaloi lasis, don't do an avera, so you don't do that avera. It's shayich, a mitzvah on something like that. Because it's b'yad ha'odom v'toli b'rtsoinoi, and lasis oiloi. It's something that, hey, you could do it, you don't have to do it. Aval ha'amuna ba'ashem yizbaruch v'tirasa yimida d'memela. This is how he Rabbi Chanan sets up the question. It's this thing of memela. That means it's either there, okay, I believe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't binyan v'loi boina, and memela HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kol Yachol, who is the one behind everything, and is behind everything, always will be behind everything. And memela, therefore, there's also Tchias HaMeisim, and we're maminim that there's Tchias HaMeisim. It's a davish of memela, you believe it, or Rachman HaLetzlan, you don't believe it. Chashal Nichrusa Amuna Miliboy Emi Yadila Shiva. So now we'll have to understand the Rabbi Chanan also, because in a certain oifen we could be made to believe things. So what's Rabbi Chanan saying over here? But first let's understand the Kasha, then we'll try to understand Rabbi Chanan. I don't want to get too away from the Gemara, but the truth of the matter is it'll help us understand maybe what we were saying in the back and forth between Rav Galil and the Minim themselves. Somebody who doesn't want to believe, you're not going to get anywhere. It's not shaykh. Someone who's opened, it's not that he doesn't believe, he just doesn't know that he's supposed to believe. That is an afka mina between the two shlavim, between the two different kinds of people. But let's discuss for a few minutes emuna. Rav Avigdor Miller always touched emuna differently. He felt strongly that the word emuna didn't mean believe. He used to say it meant to be steadfast, to be loyal. And if you look in certain definitions, Rav Aryeh Kaplan, I think, wrote in his Living Torah such a lashon, you find it in different places. And he brought rayas, v'yimeinus hadasa, the pasuk in the Megillah, v'yimeinus hadasa, or v'yi yodav emuna ad boi hashamash, when Moshe Rabbeinu by the Melchemes Amalek. Emuna ad boi hashamash, what was his hands were being belief. So Rav Avigdor Miller wants to say that the word means really steadfast. That's be'emes, what he wants to say. And it means you're steadfast in your belief of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you don't waver. No matter what hardship, no matter what comes your way, afil cherev chad emunach al tzavarov, al tishayesh, because l'maisa, with one snap of the fingers, it's kerefayin, shuos Hashem kerefayin, and memela, therefore, if we really have it internalized as much as we possibly can, so then emunah is not just something in the abstract and the esoteric, but it's something real. It's something that we tune into, see how it plays not a major role in our life, but the entire role. If we have emunah, Rav Chatzkel and Ari Cheskel says, it is the cause of all amidas. His lashon is that, I'll just read it to you quickly, so you hear the lashon of Rav Chatzkel. His lashon is, Kol hamidas kulam yisoidim be'emuna. Kol hamidas. Now Rav Chatzkel wasn't one to change words. Kol hamidas. Any midah you have is rooted in your emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to explain it. Someone who's a maimon hashalem, he's going to have midas tovus. Why? What's the connection? How does it work? This is something we have to understand. So these are a few questions that we just discussed now, and I think we'll clarify it. We'll go out with some clarity, Be'ez Hashem, tonight, in knowing what we understand, and clarity in what we just don't understand. Okay? But at least we'll have an idea. Rav Chanan is another question. Try to catalog these questions. It says, we say this pasuk a couple times a day, three times a day even, if you say it before you go to bed. And we know that it says that levavchem, Zuminus. And Rav Chanan is a famous question. What does it mean, don't go after your, stray after your heart, your desires? If Minus is something that's totally an emuna, so then where does that come from? From your mind. So it should say, And this is Rabbi Chanan's kasha. Again, if minus is a lack of emunah, a lack of belief in Hashem, belief or not belief comes or doesn't come from the brain. So if we're telling you, if the pasuk is saying don't stray after your blank because it's minus, it's going to say achrei daitchem, the das. It's not going to say levavchem. Levavchem has to do with desires. That's something we all could relate to, probably too well, because that's what runs. We get hungry, we want a good meal, we go out to the pizza shop, we go out. Desire is running so much of our life, so we understand that concept. But the mind of Loisus Tuach and Levavchem, Zoom means that, A, you can't be a kafir. You have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon HaKol, the master of the universe, and he's a kol yachol, he does everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is Machaya Nation, is the one who's Mamus and Machaya. Mogin Avram, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That comes from the Muna, comes from the Das. So it should say Leisus Tuach Levavchem, instead of Levavchem, it should say Achrei Daitchem. It's Rabbi Chanan's question, it's not my question. So, I think, to get some clarity, we have to understand a little bit more chushis, that means tangible, what emunah really is. Now, we know in our lives that it's easy to turn to emunah, quote, when our backs are against the wall. That's a mitzvah, the famous bumper sticker of there's no atheist in a foxhole. You know, it's a bumper sticker. But if you think about it, it has tremendous teichen, tremendous limud. It's not just a piskam that you say, but we all know that when was the last time someone went to a gadol or to the kaisel to daven that, you know, Baruch Hashem, everything's gevaldik and just keep it that way. Or most of the time we're going and we have a specific thing. Yeah, things are Baruch Hashem, but could you fix this thing? Or could you help this one have a child? Or can you give this one a refuah shleima? Or this one's having this complication? That's what it always is. It's amazing to take stock and realize that, you know, if we would have the recognition that we need, Rav Miller always said this, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'shas the good times, then we would have less bad times. Because Hashem sends them as a reminder for us. The Aryeh Chesler says, and this is, it doesn't need me to be maskim to it. He says, the kinamik oibin yonim el, if you really think about it, you see that the darkei Hashemayim heim, how does Hashem work? Shayeshua v'hatzlocha, the Yeshua and the success, the salvation comes barak b'shosh and nira ki eichim tikva. Just when you're about to say, okay, I give up, that's when the Yeshua comes. That's darkei Shemayim. Why? In order, he continues in a whole long thing, but to make it into a nutshell, is that we should come to the right hakara of who's really running the show. And that's only shayach when your back's against the wall. Because when everything's going well, you're tuned into your koyche v'aitzim yadi of my yishtadlis, look what I'm doing, Baruch Hashem. I got a great idea, I thought of this, I thought of that. But really, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting those ideas in, and we just don't always tune in. So Rav Miller's famous thing was, if we would busy ourselves with Hashem, when things are good, He would give us less bad times. And he said that's an Eitzah Teva. If you want to have less bad times, try to keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved. You know, and Memela, he won't have a Siba to make you have to cry out Mitech Yisur. Abbas Hashem, and Yiris Hashem Mitech Ava, of Poshet, I'm a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the highest Madrega. And it's something we could achieve for a couple seconds a day. At different times of the day, we could think about it and we could plug it into ourselves. But let's try, I'll give you a little background. You all probably know that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yinkei Namo, was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemo. And if you don't know, now you know.
And when you talk about emunah, we unfortunately have a very recent example that most of us know somebody who was there, that we get enlightened as to what emunah really is. It's something we can't fathom, we can't comprehend. We read the books, we hear the stories, we'll see the movies and whatever it is, but we're not tuned in. We can't comprehend what went on 60, 70 years ago. Then people tell you the stories. If it was just one old man in a nursing home, you would think he's hallucinating, but it's because it's been so corroborated already, so many places and so many ways, and so many witnesses. So it's real by us. We believe that. That's emunah. And yet, we also have a hard time understanding there are people who grew so much in their emunah. Avadi, you had the people who went the other way, and al todin et chaveri ashet agin lim koimcha. You can't judge someone until you're in their shoes. But let me give you a dogma of Rabbi Chanan that it could be you know, it could be you don't know, but it's kedai to know. In his sefer, he wrote, one of his many sefarim that he wrote was he shir on Yevamis. When he learned Yevamis, so there's a separate sefer on Yevamis called Kavis Haaretz by Rabbi Chanan. And in the Agdama, it says like this. This is how Rabbi Chanan got killed. It says that they were all gathered together, the Nazis, the Maximum gathered, Chanan and all of his Talmidim and some of the other Rebbeim and the people in the town. They gathered them together and they basically slaughtered them all. There was one that was grazed by the bullet and ended up being saved after he played dead. And he came away afterwards and gave an eyewitness account of everything that had happened. And he says like this. This is the lashon that he's saying. Rabbi Chanan hatgered wuyik. That means that when he was going on this the train, the cattle car, to his misha, he was totally baruyik, meaning he was calm. Calm. And he says, V'tamid, that means the same way he was when on a regular day when everything was like just perfect, that's how his tchuna, that's how his persona was at that time when he was on the train just a half hour, an hour away from getting shot to death. I feel the stimmit had zich by em nishke, that means his voice was in any way, you couldn't detect anxiety, stress, or worry in his voice. He was talking, his demeanor was the regular, as if nothing was happening. Okay? And not only that, but he was together with his son. Reb Naftali was one of the people killed also. And he didn't even say goodbye to him. He acted as if they were on the way to Shir. He schmoozed with everybody about what was doing, about what's going on. Even though everybody knew exactly what was going to happen, totally with nothing happened yet. There was an emunah that we, it blows our minds. But this was what is being recounted by an eyewitness to the story. And then when it got to the point where it was, okay, we got another minute or two to go. So at that point, he switched modes, and he went from the emunah that, oh, Kadosh Baruch is going to save me, to the, okay, emunah, this is what Hashem wants now from us. Okay, so let's prepare. And what did he do? He gave a shmooze, a 30-second shmooze, right before the bullets. In himel mustama haltman unfart tzaddikim. He said it in Yiddish. In English, he said, in himel, in heaven, they view us as tzaddikim, as righteous people. And they're using us as a kapara for, and this is his lashon. The lashon is to be mechaper. They're using our gufim, our bodies, as a kapara for Klai Yisrael. As a kapara for Klai Yisrael. So Mameli says, Darfamir, Stark, Tshuva, Tanya. He says, we have to do Tshuva now, because we got another minute. So now we got a Chaperayim. Because he, that means Kolzman, it wasn't, the bullet was ready to come. So there's no reason to worry. This is what Hashem wants us. It'll work out. Then as soon as he realized that this was the game plan, that yeah, it's going to work out exactly the way Hashem wanted, that they were all going to get killed. So then, okay, now we have to do what Hashem wants from us now. What does he want from us now? Well, Mishtama, we're going to be the kapara for the Yidden that are saved, so we have to do tshuva. Why? Because in order that our bodies should be a Torah dikka carbon, there shouldn't be any machshavas pigle. There shouldn't be any machshava that's not good. We should go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order that there should be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, that the other Yidden that are B'Sakana should not get killed. And his Lashon is at the end, this is his words. He says, Memela, if we do that, we will be better Karbonis. Velen Zayin Besser Karbonis will be better Karbonis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will save our American brothers and sisters. That's his Lashon. That we now have the ability, while we're about to be shot, to purify our machshava, that we don't have any tainus, that we're not worried, everything is the way Hashem wants. This is what Hashem wants us to do now, this is what we're doing now, this is what he wanted us to do 10 minutes ago, that's what we did 10 minutes ago. There's no bikuach, there's no fight, there's no... Now, try to realize, this is the man we're talking about. Now, how he got this Mandrake is all from Torah. And the Mepharshim will explain that Torah is Mevi'el Lidei Amuna, Mevi'el Lidei Yishamayim. Torah is everything. We all know that. We all know that what keeps us special and separate from the Goyim is the Torah. We all know that. Mamela, therefore, this is your backdrop. This is who we're talking about. And now, Rabbi Chanan explains to us in the Sefer, Kriyas Mamarim, when he gave Shmuzim in his yeshiva, so one of the Mamarim he gave, one of the many, was on Emunah. And he asked these kashas that we already discussed, it should be L'daitchem, it shouldn't be L'vavchem, and it should also, how is it possible to make a mitzvah that's totally in your Emunah? A mitzvah is something that you could do or not do. A person either believes or he doesn't believe. Those are Rabbi Chanan's two questions. So now that we know who Rabbi Chanan was, based on the Maisa that we've discussed, now let's see how he goes and analyzes Emunah and how it's negated to us. And I think we'll have tremendous clarity in the whole thing. It'll be a big chizuk, because we'll know what we know, we'll know what we're having a hard time understanding, but we're maminim, so we'll believe it. And therefore, we'll also understand why Rabbi Gamliel wasn't dealing with the minim, because the minim weren't attempting to really understand it. That wasn't their goal was to show Rabbi Gamliel that, you know, something, you don't got your facts in order. It was more along those lines, l'chayr, because that's what minim do. Minim aren't really ready to be makab. So, in order to understand this, Rabbi Chanan said, let me ask you another question. And this is also a famous question, so if you know it, bear with me. But all of the Bali Musa always talked about this, and this question is the beginning of the answer to all of the questions that come up when we deal with Amun. It's brought down that we all know that there was a fellow, a big philosopher by the name of Aristotle, and it was said on him by I think he says it's from the Chofetz Chaim. I'm just taking a look quickly. It said on him that the lashon is that shel levad hanevuah v'ruach hakodesh, besides the nevuah prophecy and ruach hakodesh, besides for those two things concept, lo yoyachachem gadol k'moshe ba'olam. Is the Kisrei HaRambam, the Igeris L'Rav Shmuel Evin Tavi. It's in the Igeris, in the Kisrei HaRambam, it's brought down, that besides the Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, This fellow Aristotle, wherever he was the biggest chacham around. L'hoyo chacham kamayu, period. There was l'hoyo chacham gadol kamayu, but olam in the world. Okay, so now, whatever you want to give a number to his IQ, that obviously was off the charts. Yet, was he a maimin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Was he not able to take a look at a building and say, oh, somebody built that building, it didn't happen by mistake? And if someone could realize that, then take a human body. Like Rav Miller said, always a human eye. There's no camera like a human eye. Is that able to be an accident? It's not possible. And the whole Bria Shemayim Baritz with the whole creation of the world, is that possible to be it? Not such shayach. Now, he was the biggest chacham that lived, and yet, he had no shaykhish to having a moon in HaKadosh Baruch. Fregt of a chon and a bomb kasha, how is it shayach that when a kid becomes 13 years old and he gets up there and he lands in the parasha? Now he's a bar mitzvah boy, and a girl, she becomes 12. Right away, the chiyuv of 630 mitzvahs lands on the guy's shoulders or on the girl's shoulders. What is the very first mitzvah, says the Rambam? Have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the world. Asks Rav Chanan Wasserman, how is it shayich if Aristotle couldn't get any achievement in emunah that we are throwing on a 13-year-old? Have emunah. It's a chuchat lula, it's a joke. And us, we're not 13 years old. But do we come up to Aristotle's ankles? Obviously not. And yet, it's incumbent upon us to have emunah. And yet, he wasn't able to achieve it. Rav Chanan says, what's going on here? So obviously, we're missing something. Because of all of these questions, we're missing something. And Rav Chanan explains that what we're missing is the pashtus in emunah. Here's what Rav Chanan says. What time is it? What time is it? 10 o'clock. Rav Chanan says that we're missing the pashtus. And he says amazing. He says, if you'll be in this boy name, if you look into this, analyze it. Ki emunah shakosh baruch hu boreh ha'olam. The concept of understanding, believing that Hashem created the world, who mukhreches l'chol ben das im rak yitzim achal shayta. Any human being, yid or goy, black or white, it makes no difference. If he's not a shayta, has to understand the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu or a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's not shayach in any other Muslim. And he said, it's a klal, l'shum philosophy. You don't need a philosopher to tell you this concept, because let's be honest, anybody who's not a shayta understands that things don't happen by themselves. Everybody knows that. If you don't put your jacket on, or someone else doesn't put it on for you, it ain't getting on. You could stand there for 10 years, or 2 million years. It's not going to pick up. I know the wind could come, a storm could come and blow it, but it should figure out how to get on you. It's not happening. And everybody knows that. So that's pushing. So that's not a Muna. That you either have or you don't have. That's not a Muna. What's a Muna? A Muna is taking that and realizing that therefore, there's a barrier. That means the fact that it happened, that's pasha. And in a krami, you either believe it or you don't believe it. But the idea is the what's put upon us that we should understand is that we have to understand to be mistaken. We have to look at this thing, and we have to understand that these are things that create responsibilities, create shibudim. The reason why Aristotle, says Rav Chanan, didn't believe, of course he believed, But he didn't want, therefore, all of the things you could and can't do. That's what he didn't want. So he convinced himself not to believe. Why? Because Acharei Levavcha. So what Reb Chanan is doing now is he's answering his questions by setting up the whole emuna in a different mahalach. That Hashem created the world, that's a no-brainer. If you have brains, you get it. Everybody gets it. The emunah of Hashem that we have is, yeah, He created the world, we know that. That's the given. Now, because of that, there's a Torah with mitzvahs, things you could do and things you can't do. That's emunah. That's not shaking lulav. That's emunah. It's Hashem told me to shake the lulav in the Torah, the pasuk, shake the lulav. It's emunah. That is the manifestation of emunah. Everything we make a bracha before it, it's emunah. So what happens? A guy like Aristotle, not interested in dealing with these issues. It could have happened a different way. Not because it could have. He knows it can. But whatever it takes to make two and two not equal four, he'll do. That's the koyach of Levavchem. So question number one, it's Levavchem, it's Ledaitchem. No, it's not. Because Ledaitchem, you know the world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Levavchem that's going to try to get you not to believe it. Not to do the mitzvahs. It's not shayach to give a mitzvah to something that you can't do. But you're right. To believe or not to believe that the world was created by Hashem, that's not the mitzvah. It's the manifestation of that. That is shayach to be done. Memelin, it's takashayach to say that that's the first mitzvah. And that you could put onto a 13-year-old. Because it doesn't take a big brain. It takes resilience, perseverance, it takes emunah. It takes understanding that the Schar Ba'onesh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, we know. And therefore when He gave the Torah and the Torah said these mitzvahs, those are the things that we do. So we understand Ein Ben Chayin and Elam Yisrael Yiskin B'Torah. But the Goyim don't realize that. And he says even more. We know that the Shiva mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, if they don't keep them, they're going to go, they're not getting anything special in the next world. What do you mean? The guy should be able to say, no one taught it to me. So it's not true, because any bar das knows that. The things that he has to do, any bar das knows. It's not the shiloh. Those are no-brainers. And therefore, they're mechuyev on it. If that's what their mitzvahs are, that's what they're mechuyev to do. It's expected from them, and if they don't do it, they're going to get punished. And Elam, knowing this, Reb Chanan's emuna started 20 steps after hours. It was. I'm supposed to not be worried because that's my, just like I shake a lulav because I have emuna and Hashem and the Torah said shake a lulav. I'm not worried because Hashem is doing everything, and therefore, what am I worried for? What did David HaMelech say? That God. If I'm going in Mamish, the valley of death. Kiyati Imadi. David Hashem, Mimira. Who should I worry? What Hashem's with me. I should be afraid of anybody. It's not Shaykh. Someone who has that koyach, it's because it's so real to them. Because what's the worst case scenario? The guy's going to throw the rock? That's what Hashem wanted. As long as I'm not being pashay, I'm going where I'm not supposed to be going. But if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and the Nazis are taking, so what do you want from me? I'm not mechuyev any more than that. To try to save my life, I'm mechuyev too. I tried, I can't do more. But Reb Chanan was even one madriga higher than that. Where was Reb Chanan when it started getting very serious? In America. And everybody begged him, don't go. He said, what do you mean? You think Hashem can't find me here? I got to be with my Talmidim. That's the clarity that he had. If it was meant to be in his mind, since he felt he had to be there to give chizuk to his Talmidim, then that's what had to be. The fact that it was the biggest hakana or not, it made no difference. Every bullet has its address, and it can find someone in Manhattan. A friend of mine called me, I lived in Kensington, in Brooklyn, near Borough Park. Over Shabbos, over Shabbos, over yesterday, 2 days ago, there were two armed robberies around the corner from Craig List. This is a guy, a friend of mine, who chatted me a lot. You're moving there to Sharon. Did you get your bulletproof vest? He used to chat me before I went to drive me crazy. Good friend of mine, but, you know, every joke has some truth. But, you know, I'm a good-natured guy, so I didn't mind. So, right now, he had the guts to call me back today and tell me, you know something, maybe I need it, could you send it back to me? Because there were two hurries around the corner from where we live. If Hashem wants, if the time is up, it's up. Now, Rav Chanan understood that, it was so clear to him. He didn't view himself as being in any bigger sakana in Europe than in Manhattan, because for Maisa, if the right thing is he had to be with his yeshiva, then that's what he had to do. So it's not a bigger sakana there than there. Hashem's going to watch over me. If I'm supposed to go, I'll go. If not, not. That is emunah. It's not doing the averis because Hashem doesn't want us to. It's doing the mitzvahs because Hashem wants us. Now the minim aren't interested in doing this. So therefore, what happens? The minim come and they say, no, where's Tchis HaMeshim in our Torah? They don't want to have to do anything to earn any reward. They're not interested. So what does Rebbe Gamliel say? You're not getting it. In the Sheikh of the Sheikh Moshe Rabbeinu died. You think he's the one who lost out? No, but come on. Even according to the way you're reading it, it's the you guys lost out. We lost out. We're the ones that are worse off because of it. So the Maisa, that could be a little bit when you're dealing with Minim, that the whole concept of Amuna is not on their radar screen. You can't make any progress. Because if you don't want to believe, you're not going to believe. You can't, you know, it's one of the famous sayings in the psychological world. When you're giving chizuk, you know, people come with children. They're having trouble. This kid's going off the derech. This kid's having a problem. This kid's not behaving, throwing temper tantrums. Their siblings are fighting. Parents are going crazy. They're pulling their head out of their head. Their mommy's going nuts. They're going so crazy that their mommy's... They're basically trying out of their frustration not to tell their children what to do and what not to do. It gets to a point where they start trying to tell their children what to think and what not to think. And one of the first things that you go to the professionals, one of the first things any mechanech who's dealing for years and years will tell you is you can tell someone what to do and what not to do. You cannot tell someone what to think and what not to think, because a person has a hard enough time telling himself what to think and what not to think. If I make up my mind, I'm not going to think about pizza, then I know one thing. If I want to bring my kids to Dar es Shlomo, I better walk around the other way and come around from Surrey. Because if I got to walk past Kishon, I'm going to think about pizza. It's automatic. Don't think about it. Okay, so I got to go with blinders, with a nose pin, it's not shayach. People can't control what they think themselves. You're going to go tell someone else, but that's what happens. I had a parent by me just a week or two ago with an issue, and he says to me, I don't understand what makes him think. It's so pushy. Doesn't he know this and this and this? The parent, Nebuch, they're frustrated, so I don't blame them. But what's going to happen is that you're so not communicating. Your kid is talking here, you're talking here, and no wonder why you guys aren't connected. Because you're busy trying to figure out why he ain't thinking what you think he should be thinking, because if he'd be thinking what you think he'd be thinking, then he wouldn't be thinking what he's thinking, he wouldn't have a problem. Shkayach. But that's not, he can't do that. It's not like you put information into a computer, it spits it back out. It doesn't work like that with human beings. So Mela, that's the Nakuta. If a person doesn't think because he doesn't want to think, so he's not going to think. And that's it. That takes care of all three of these cases. If you go through the Mashals, you'll see that each one he has a different diak from. But in the case of the Nevi'im, the next case, Min HaNevi'im D'Ksiv, when it says that Yichyu Meisecha, that the dead ones will become alive, Nivalti, the corpses, Yikumen will get up, Yikitsev Aranu, they'll praise, Sheikh Le'ofa, Kitali Recha, Telecha, Ve'er Tefarim Tapil. So, that you see from there clearly that Yishai is saying that
there'll be Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Minim again said, no, this was before Yecheskel. Yecheskel did Tchiyas HaMeisim. It could be Yeshayahu's Nevuah was going to be that Yecheskel was going to create Tchiyas HaMeisim, but not that everybody in the world who dies is going to get Tchiyas HaMeisim. Why? Because as long as they can finagle an Eitzah, they're going to finagle an Eitzah. But the Maaseh, if you wanted to think the right way, so Rabbi Gamliel is saying a very good point. So therefore they knocked that one out. It's like sweet wine. The words are like, your tongue is like sweet wine. That the lips of the people that are in the ground are going to speak, so it looks like they're coming back alive. You see, so he says, so the meaning answered back, maybe just the lips are going to move like Rabbi Yochanan. Dama Rabbi Yochanan, Shimon Shimon Yitzchak, Komi Shenem Alocha Bishmoy Boil Mazeh, Shifres of David Keva, Shenem David Shifse Yishanim. So all of these cases weren't Shaykh. It just, they said, no, it means that if you quote Rabbi Yankel, so Rabbi Yankel's lips are moving, but it doesn't mean he's coming back alive. So therefore, Ad Shomalem Mikrezez, Hashem Nishba Hashem Lavisechem Lasechem, it says, I'm going to give you this word, the land, it says, Lochem Loinemar, Elohim. So what do we see? Mikan Tchis Hamezim in our Torah, like we said before, it's going on the Avos. The Avos aren't alive. Obviously, they're going to come back alive in order to inherit the land. And that's where we're up to. Mali Neder, on Sunday, we're going to go right to the bottom of the Avos.
Rabbi Neil just responded to that subtle message.
Why?
Just to get like a subtle message.
Well, seemingly that's what he got through, because the meaning didn't walk away from him.
I don't know who this is.
No.